You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
If you're going to be the kind of Christian that gives and is excited about the Christian life and learns how to give things up, you have to dispel those doubts. This truth that God is good seems so basic, why would we even take time to come to affirm it? We all know God is good. We would all understand that God is not evil. But we don't think consistently with that doctrine, and until we do, we don't deepen in our Christian walk the way we need to. We need to grow in our Christian faith, and growing in the Christian faith means growing in our faith that God is good to me.
We live in a fallen and broken world. There is a constant stream of attempts of people trying to malign God's nature, debate his existence, and debunk your faith. But in the midst of this fallen world, God still proves he's good. He's a good God who gives incredibly good gifts. Don't let any lingering doubt weaken your faith. When you get rid of those doubts, transform your thinking, and rehearse God's goodness to you, every day your faith will grow. God is generous and perfect in all he gives to you. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he begins his message, God's Unvarying Goodness to Us.
Reflect on God's goodness this morning. A truth I hope is firmly entrenched in your mind, but I fear if your mind works like mine that sometimes it is not. Some of the foolish things that modern leaders, the world's teachers, say against God or against his character or against the God of the Bible, they get away with these foolish things because few people challenge them when they say them. They're unfounded assumptions. They're arbitrary beliefs, because that's what they are. Yet we know when people say things slanderous about God or his existence, that that is effective, works. It hurts some people's faith. That's why we have to be very careful with our own words. But we know that even when we're careful, the world attacks faith in Christ. They might say, if there's a God, why does he not stop evil? Why all the trouble and problems in the world? That's one of the most common objections to God, is it not? God's already told man exactly why there is evil. Not only why, but where it came from, what it is, how it's going to be worked into good one day, the whole bit. And even how he grants healing and life after death as comfort of it. How he can turn evil into good. How he will destroy evil ultimately. He'll solve it at the right time, and he will do it in a way that honors himself and reveals his glory. It is only, I think, arrogant humanity with its unfounded assumptions and wrong starting points that nobody challenges that raises up arguments against God and his goodness. There's nothing intellectual about an attack upon God. I hope that you understand that. There's nothing intellectual about an argument against God because it doesn't have anywhere to start and it doesn't have anywhere to go if it is analyzed and challenged. Do you not hear how absurd some of the claims are? The atheist who steals credit for the good in his life but when he sees evil blames God. It's so inconsistent. He can't even provide a coherent reason why some things should even be called evil to use that argument against God. When you really think about epistemology, and that's just the study of how we know what we know, how can we justify knowledge? There really is no foundation other than God for knowledge, for education, for even knowing what goodness is, to know right and wrong. God is the one who gave the human race a standard of right and wrong. He gave the human race truth. He gave us a mind that uses logic. He gave all those good gifts to us that we would use them and understand. But the atheist or the hater of God never has a justified starting point. He tries, but anywhere where he launches his attack from, the ground that he stands on is not justified. He cannot give a basis for his argument without there being a God. No atheist can even tell how life came to be from non-life. Just start there. How did all of life come from non-life when the very science the atheist touts as being the proof of his beliefs proves his beliefs wrong? Because science says that all life comes from other life. That's a law. That's a fact. But he has to believe the opposite. He has to believe all life came from non-life. The only answer we get from an atheist to try to deal with the great questions of life is that just give chance a lot of time and all of this happen. I'd like to submit to you that's not an answer. That's really a non-answer. They can't even say where time came from, first of all. They can't even prove there's such a thing as chance, for there would have to be a way to prove that, and there's really no way to prove that. An atheist says that we Christians pretend God exists. They must think that we are psychologically disturbed people for gathering and worshiping an unseen being. But really, the atheist's attempted use of logic and meaning without God shows that he's actually pretending that God does not exist. Beloved, I'd like to say to you at a real basic starting point that belief in God is not absurd. Belief in no God is absurd. The fact is that God is here to listen to those who qualify for his ear, that is, those who will fear his name and will believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has never abandoned us. There are obviously times where it feels that way. There are obviously difficult and dark situations of life where if you go by your feelings and not by your faith, you're going to make some pretty bad decisions and you're going to drop to some pretty lowly points in life. But God continues to provide for us right now. I assume if you're sitting here right now, you're alive. So in some way, God has provided for you the breath you're breathing, the warmth that we have here in this room. We tend to forget that everything good that we have is from God. This is not a perfect world. It was made perfect, but it's fallen now. God told us why it's fallen. We sinned. We were the captains of this planet. We were the kings and queens of this planet. And when we sinned, the planet itself was struck with a curse. And so there is evil, and there is a tragedy, and there's pain. That's what a cursed and a fallen world is. In the midst of that world, God continues to prove that he is a good God, and he does it in a number of different ways. Even we as believers have thoughts that go through our minds where we question how God is managing and superintending life. Whether it's our own personal lives, the lives of the ones that we love, our families, the way a church is going, a nation is going, we question God's goodness in those things. We don't come to a full doubt about it, but that lingering doubt to some degree and that questioning hurts our faith. This doubt of God's graciousness, doubt of God's generosity, doubt that God has designed things well for us, that he's wise in the way that he manages our lives. That has to be reversed in your thinking. You have to dispel that entirely if you're going to deepen in your Christian walk. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that gives and is excited about the Christian life and learns how to give things up, you have to dispel those doubts. This truth that God is good seems so basic, why would we even take time to come to affirm it? We all know God is good. We would all understand that God is not evil. But we don't think consistently with that doctrine, and until we do, we don't deepen in our Christian walk the way we need to. We need to grow in our Christian faith, and growing in the Christian faith means growing in our faith that God is good to me, and having a conviction about that. The Lord has been and is and will continue to be good to me. That's really what the thrust of our text today is. If you haven't opened to James 1, please do that already. Verses 17 and 18 is all we're going to cover today, but it is powerful, I think, in its message as it asserts some theological truths in a very pastoral way. And really, if we back up to verse 16, which we covered last time, it says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given or bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures." Two verses, that's all, but they are verses that can transform your thinking. Go down into the deepest parts of where you think and meditate, where you are when you're all alone and you have troubles with your faith. These two verses are a balm and a salve in order to help with that. Specifically, how do we think about God in relation to us? And whether or not there's some deception still going on in our thinking in that realm. There's so much potential for deception, so much slander against God, so much distortion of who God is that even if people don't have an idol in front of them when they worship, they are really worshiping an idol by having a wrong conception of God himself. James, a Jewish man who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as God's king, he's providing here two proofs of the goodness of God. One's a general proof, and one's a more specific proof. When you hear the specific one, I think you'll realize why he chose that one as the example and proof of God's goodness to us. So the general one is in verse 17, and that is that God gives good gifts. The more specific one is in verse 18, and it relates to God causing the new birth. Let's start with the first general truth. It's not really teaching us something new, but I want you to go deep on it and meditate on it. God's generosity. God gives good gifts to his people. He is generous. That's a theme that James has actually already touched upon. If you glance back to verse 5, you can see it there. It said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Why would we ask God for wisdom? Because he's generous. He gives it without reproach. Now, in verse 17, he's sort of picking that same theme up, and he's coming right back to the generous nature of God. God is generous. And he's giving, and he gives good things. Unlike our nature, if you look back to what our nature is in verses 13 through 15, you see that we struggle with evil and sin. But God gives beautiful gifts, and he does not bring us down to temptation. Who tempts us? We tempt ourselves, right? We bring ourselves into sin, and we bring ourselves into death, all the consequences of sin, all the pain of sin. That's what we do to ourselves. If we want to blame someone, we should be blaming ourselves. There should be a sense, a good sense of true guilt before God that we have violated his commandments. But when we think of God and we think of his nature, we have to think of no evil, no tempting to evil, perfect in character. And that's what he's getting across here. Really, the exact opposite of us is true of God. God does not bring bad things. God brings good things to us. God's gifts are good precisely because they never lead to temptation. They don't take us into something that is evil. They are meant to benefit man. When we think of something that's good, we think of something that brings blessing, that's useful, that works. These are good things that last, and that's what God gives, those kind of gifts. Look at that broad statement there. Every good thing given. I like the old way that the old NASB translated, bestowed. Every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above. The key word there is all, pas in Greek, all, every. Not some of them that I get, I should give thanks to God. Not a slice of the good pie comes from God, but the whole meal comes from God, right? God is completely non-responsible for the evil in the world, and God is completely responsible for all the good in the world, period. That's proper thinking. That's how we are to think all the time. It's exactly the opposite that the hater of God and the atheist asserts blindly, without any foundation at all, without any starting point at all. For if there is no God, why would they even bother to argue against him? And the very fact that they do betrays they know he's there. There is nothing good in my life and nothing good in your life that God did not give to you. And there is no evil temptation in your life that comes from God. The word good there, by the way, agathos, describes what's useful, what's beneficial. That word good is so elastic. What do I do with it? When I think of something that's good, it's like, well, when you get a gift and you say, this is a good gift, it's something that your eyes brighten with and you think, wow, that was a really thoughtful gift. I could use that, right? So you think about how you're going to use the tool or where you're going to put that special little dish that was given to you or that painting, and someone has been thoughtful about you and given you something that you can use. That's what God is. He's agathos. He's good to us. And the second word there, perfect, teleos. It describes that which is complete or mature or brought to its intended goal. God's gifts lead to something in our lives. They lead to a goal. They lead to perfection. They lead to completing us. I like D. Edmund Hebert. He says, the perfection of the gift received flows from the goodness of the one bestowing it. That's right. Why is it that we get perfect gifts? Because God is good and he gives them. Jesus pointed this out when he was teaching his disciples. He said it in another way, but it's just as effective. He turned to his disciples and he said, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give what is good to those who ask him? You have an evil nature, and you can figure out some ways to give beneficial gifts to your children. God has no evil in him at all. Just think what he will give to you if you ask. Even the two words for gift that are used in this verse, translated given and gift, point again to God's goodness. Dosis is the first word. It refers to God's action of giving. It shows he is the one who wants to give. He doesn't want to take away, he wants to give. It shows a hand that is open and is generous. And then there's dorema. It refers to the result of what is given, the actual gift itself. When you get it and you say, that was good. So God is a giver and God gives gifts is the point. God gives beneficial things and the gifts which are perfect. These good gifts include all that he has given to us in the world of creation, even to the atheist, even to the one who believes wrongly in their religion. God has still given good things to them. We live on a most amazing planet. And they scan the heavens and they try to find one planet that's like it. And they say, well, there must be millions out there. They haven't found one, not even with a Hubble telescope. Not one. They keep assuring us that life comes from non-life, and so it must have popped up all over the universe, but they can't find one. No, this is an amazing planet. Its delicacies, its balance, all of it provided by God. The more the scientist studies it, the more he should be religious, the more he should be just thanking God, for this could not be by accident. Don't have enough faith to be an atheist. What a ridiculous idea that all of this came by accident. So we have what? What do you have? You have a home? Did it survive the night? Was it blown down? You have transportation. You got here. You have clothes. You have food. You have friends. There's a whole kinds of things that are part of our creation that you enjoy every single day. Do you stop and think, all of this is from God? All of this he meant for my good. The unbeliever arrogantly takes credit for what God gave as good. He works with a hand, makes something, and says, see what I made, and forgets that the eye and the hand were a gift from God. And even the stuff that he picked up to make it with was a gift from God. And the time and the health, and we can go on and on. The unbeliever is a thief. He steals the honor and glory from the one who deserves it and who gave good things. These good gifts also come from the world of redemption for those of us in Christ. If we're in Jesus, we're in Christ, and being in the sphere and the locale of Christ means that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you have redemption? Were you purchased from slavery to sin? Do you have an inheritance which is reserved in heaven for you and cannot fade away? Have you been adopted into the very family of God and have the privileges of sonship before the King of heaven? Do you have a present assurance that never is stolen from you, giving you confidence and courage in this world? Are you declared innocent before the throne of God, even though you violated so many of his laws? Do you have the promise of future glorification and all the fun and joy and blessing and brilliance that comes from that? Well, they also are part of the perfect gifts that come from God. Our vast array of spiritual resources in the Lord Jesus Christ again come from hands that are open and giving and are blessing all day long. God richly pours out gifts every day. God is more generous than anybody in this room and all of us put together. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts and let him return to the Lord. Why should he return to the Lord? God is just and righteous. Won't he be angry? The verse is completed. Let him return to the Lord and he will have compassion on him and to our God and he will abundantly pardon. What kind of a God is that? A God who's generous and forgiving. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came into this world so that I might give all of my sheep the most abundant life that there is. Notice the gifts come from above, and that clearly indicates that they don't arise from earth. They don't arise from man. They come from above as a reference to God the Father. We don't thank Mother Earth. We thank Father God. They come from the heavenly sphere in contrast to the earthly sphere. Later in James 3, when we get there, it'll talk about wisdom that is from below and wisdom that is from above. And what wisdom is from below means it arises from the thoughts of man, and it can never get higher than man. It starts with man, it has man as the aim, it comes back to man, and it argues in a circle, and it never has a basis for any true knowledge at all. It's not real wisdom, it's just the kind of educated wisdom that people think that they get today. It just kind of goes up and falls back down again. It's no good. The wisdom that comes down from above sees everything the way it needs to be seen. It understands in a much greater way. That's why it's real wisdom. Heaven is the place of origin of all good givings and all perfect gifts. You know, sometimes you eat chocolate or something that's really tasty. You eat it, you say, oh, it tastes so heavenly. It's because you know that that's the highest compliment you can give a gift, is that it comes from heaven, the best place. Notice it says it's coming down, and that's a present tense verb, meaning there's this continuous flow that is coming down from the Father of good and perfect things from above. Kata baino. Baino is to go, and kata is down. It shows the direction of God's blessing coming down. Good things are all wrapped up there in heaven, but then they're sent down, UPS, to descend to us in a continuous flow of blessing. Is that the picture you have of God when you pray to Him? Is that the picture you have of God when you're meditating at home? Is that the way you view your Heavenly Father towards you? Unfortunately, one of the clearest indications of a lack of faith in God's goodness is that nemesis called complaining. Why is it such a sin to complain? Because it's a denial of the goodness of God. And the goodness of God is a cardinal doctrine that's at the core of how we live our lives. If you don't believe in the goodness of God, you will eventually fall away from the faith. You will eventually go away and not come back. You have to believe. This is something that you will treasure and hold to you. God is good to me. Then why do I complain? In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Wow. In everything give thanks. Does God deserve our thanks? Does God deserve our thanks? Does He deserve your thanksgiving every day? Not just a Thanksgiving day, every day. It is always God's will that we thank. Not ourselves. There's the arrogance of the unbeliever. He thanks himself. He has thanksgiving, and he looks at himself and gives thanks to himself. What a fool. We don't give thanks to Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't think. Mother Nature doesn't have a design, a purpose. All that we think is a design and purpose that comes from nature is the Father's purpose for us. You ever hear of people that thank their lucky stars? Really? We're not to thank Allah. Allah is not the God of the Bible. He's a false representation of the true God who spoke through true prophets, not false prophets. We're not to give thanks to Buddha. We're not to give thanks to other sources. Give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is above. He writes next specifically that He is the Father of lights. Do you see that? I love that little title. Father of lights means the originator of lights. He's the one who caused the lights to be. What do the lights refer to? The lights refer to Genesis chapter 1, where God put lights into the sky on the fourth day of creation. He put the greatest light, the sun. He put a lesser light, the moon, to govern the night. And then it says He made the stars, all the lights, which includes all the planets and everything that is up there that shines. It's that broad of a term. He originated them all. He is the Father, and He is the Father of the lights. He's also called the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That makes Him our Father. In Ephesians 1, He's called the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I like that also. As the Father, He is the originator and He is the governor of all things. Everything. That's His sovereignty. I like Kurt Richardson's quote. He says, God's governance over all things is impeccable and benevolent. He does it in a perfect way, and it's always generous. So He made the bright sun. He made the glowing moon, the myriad of twinkling stars, the rotating planets. How did He make them? It says that God spoke and they came forth. How does that work? Nobody knows. He spoke and they existed. He called them ex nihilo, out of nothing.
To grow in faith and service, you must dispel any doubt about the complete goodness of God. Block out the voice of deception and distortion of who God is, and trust and believe the truths in His Word. Today, Pastor Tom reminded you that God is an incredibly generous God who gives good gifts. Every good gift is from Him. It's proper and right to remember this and give thanks to Him for everything. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you, so if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. If you who are evil are able to give good gifts, just imagine the incredible gifts your good Father gives. He wants to give, and He is so generous. His giving goes far beyond the physical. He blesses you spiritually as well. The most incredible gift of all is the gift of eternal life. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will encourage you and remind you that you are redeemed and you are forgiven. Have confident assurance of these good gifts. To listen again to today's message in the book of James, visit hopebiblechurch.org and look under the Sermons tab. Pastor Tom will return soon with another in-depth study of God's Word. So join us again right here on Discover Hope.